Hampshire Public Radio News. It's now 9:06.
From New Hampshire Public Radio, I'm Laura Canoy, and this is The Exchange. If you haven't signed up yet for health care coverage under the Affordable Care Act, today is the long-publicized day to do so. And if you do enroll, you'll be joining more than 6 million Americans who have already. After a website debut deemed disappointing, even by the president, the infamous healthcare.gov is now running relatively smoothly. Still, critics of the healthcare law point out some vexing questions. Have the newly insured actually paid their premiums? Are those premiums really affordable? And what about drastic state-by-state disparities? Also, the administration's announcement last week that it will extend the enrollment period for those who had trouble getting online opened it up to more criticism that it's been repeatedly unable to meet its own timetables. New Hampshire's ACA story has also had its twists and turns. So far, about 20,000 Granite Staters have signed up for coverage, but that leaves thousands still uninsured. And has been the case nationally, adults in their 20s and early 30s, known as the young invincibles, are proving the toughest to convince. Today in The Exchange, a checkup for the Affordable Care Act, with today's big deadline and other changes still to come here in the Granite State. We're going to begin with Karen Hicks. She is program manager for Covering New Hampshire, a statewide outreach project for the new health insurance law. Karen Hicks, you've been on the ground. It's good to have you with us on the air this morning.
Well, thanks for having me.
So how many people have signed up so far under healthcare.gov in the Granite State, Karen?
As the end of February, we had 21,578 people pick a plan and get enrolled. And so the second step that you alluded to is actually paying their premiums. And so it takes a little while longer for us to be able to see the number of people to complete that step. But so far, the numbers indicate that we're pretty much on track and actually exceeding the original target set by the federal government.
So 21,000 as of the end of February. Here we are, last day of March. I'm wondering if there has been this rush in these final weeks, Karen, to sign up by even more people.
We don't have any state-specific data, but looking at the national level, there's been a lot of traffic at healthcare.gov. There's been over 2 million visitors just over the weekend as people, you know, rush to meet the deadline today.
2 million people over the weekend, so we can assume some of those are from New Hampshire.
Let's hope so.
Well, and who has signed up, Karen, and who hasn't? I mean, what kind of people are jumping on and what kind of people are holding back?
Well, the early data shows that some of the first people who signed up to take advantage of the discounted rates available through the marketplace are people who are older, people who really recognize the value of health insurance. And so a lot of that really represents pent-up demand. For the young invincibles, the people under 40 who may not feel the risk implied in going without health insurance, it's taken a bit longer. They're going to procrastinate a little bit more. But hopefully we'll see more of them joining the insured ranks as the deadline draws near.
Well, and Karen, we heard just recently, last week, that there was yet another extension to this individual mandate. Can you explain what that is?
Sure. For people who have started the process by midnight today, if you've logged on and either had trouble, couldn't complete the process, you'll be given time. So it's essentially, if you're to liken it to voting, if you're in line when the polls close, you're going to be able to cast that ballot. The same is true here. So if you've started the process and attest to that, you'll be able to complete the process in the month of April.
I wanted to ask you, Karen, about a Kaiser poll that came out recently, finding half of the uninsured did not plan to get coverage, and only 4 in 10 of the uninsured knew about today's deadline to sign up. What do you make of that?
Well, I hope we're doing better in New Hampshire. This has been, you know, a process that's been 3 years since the law passed, and despite our best efforts to really reach everyone, to let them know about the tremendous benefits afforded them under the uninsured, there's still some people that don't know that. And so I think that, you know, overall, this is going to be a process that ramps up over time. What we saw in Massachusetts is it took 3 years for people to really fully enroll in it. So, you know, New Hampshire has about 150,000 folks who are uninsured. Many of those were not eligible for assistance through the exchange. They're going to be eligible for the newly expanded Medicaid. And so the law is complex, and it will take time to fully realize the benefits. But I think we're off to a good start in the Granite State here, and hopefully thousands of people will sign up by the end of open enrollment. And the numbers are only part of it. I mean, I think part of what we need to continue to talk about and explore is what it means when people get coverage. And so the first thing is that it gives them financial peace of mind. Half of the bankruptcies in our state are driven by medical problems, people not being able to pay those bills. And so this will be good for those individuals. It'll be good that they can get the care that they need. It'll be good for people with insurance because it'll end some of the cost shifting that's driven costs up so high. And it'll be good for the healthcare system. So lots and lots to exploit in this, but it's going to take some time.
One more question for you, Karen, if I could, please. A critique that's come up just in the last week or so is that, to say, hooray, people now have coverage, they've enrolled, isn't that great? Some have said, well, some of these people signing up for coverage are those who lost their coverage under the stricter rules of the Affordable Care Act. So in a way, you're just shifting groups of people around. You're not really achieving as much new ground in terms of covering the uninsured as it might look on the surface. What do you make of that?
Well, I think, first of all, the Affordable Care Act does set a new floor for coverage. And so plans that had either a lifetime cap on coverage, didn't cover the essential set of health benefits, charged women more than men for coverage, those rules are all different now. And so if you were in one of those policies, it didn't end, but it wasn't renewed. And so that's an important clarification. And some of folks who have been really paying through the nose for health care have found cheaper rates on the exchange, which I think is a benefit. I don't find that a downside at all. We found a lot of folks here in New Hampshire saving 30, 40, 50% off of what they were paying in the individual market. And so part of what the law does is that it rationalizes the rules for underwriting and so that it's fairer and it's more predictable for everybody. And it's not just catch-as-catch-can, allowing insurance companies to cover who they want and charge what they want.
Okay,
Karen. There's also a new requirement that 80 to 85% of your premiums have to pay for health care. And so many people have actually seen their rates go down as a result of this.
Karen, thank you very much for being with us. We appreciate it.
Anytime. Thank you.
That's Karen Hicks, Project Manager for Covering New Hampshire, a statewide outreach program for the new health insurance law. Again, today in the exchange, a checkup on the Affordable Care Act, all the factors playing out here in the Granite State, including the so-called individual mandate that you've probably heard about that kicks in today. Let's hear from you. Have you had to sign up on healthcare.gov? If so, what was your experience? And more broadly, how has the Affordable Care Act affected you or your business? Give us a call. The exchange number, 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. With me in studio, Todd Bookman, NHPR's health reporter. Todd, thanks for taking time out.
Good morning, Laura.
Also with us, Jennifer Patterson, health legal counsel at the New Hampshire Insurance Department. And Jennifer, thank you also for giving us your time.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Well, both of you, what does this March 31st deadline, Todd, signify? Karen touched on it. We've been talking about the end of March 2014 for a long, long time, even when this law was signed 4 years ago.
That's true. This is a date that we've been fast approaching for a long time now, it seems. And what March 31st means is it is the last day that you can buy coverage as an individual for yourself or for your family, not just through the exchange. This is also off exchange, too. So policies you may want to buy outside of the Affordable Care Act. Today is still the deadline for that. The reason being, the law is trying to get more people into the system, try to flatten out costs, make things more predictable, as Karen mentioned. And you don't want people, breaking their ankle, playing basketball, and then signing up for health insurance on the way to the ER. That's not how the system is supposed to work. So they're trying to get everybody in now, get those premiums getting paid now to try to make things more predictable in the future. If you haven't signed up for coverage today, your employer doesn't offer it to you at a reasonable rate, you may be facing a fine next year on your tax return, a fee. This is what the individual mandate is all about. That fine starts at $95 or 1% of income. That could be sizable for a number of people. There are obviously some exemptions to this, though, things called qualifying life events. So after today, if you get divorced, you get married, you adopt a child, move across state lines, you know, something happens to your job that you lose insurance, you can still access subsidies through the Affordable Care Act exchange. But you need to have one of those qualifying life events. But, you know, after today, enrollment doesn't open up again until November 15th, and that's for coverage starting January 2015.
Well, and that's an important point. And Jennifer, a lot of deadlines under the Affordable Care Act over the past couple of years have been pushed off. What about this deadline?
This is a real deadline, Laura, and I'd really like to reiterate what Todd said, particularly with respect to the plans off of the marketplace. Karen talked a little bit about the extensions that have been granted for people who were trying to use the marketplace and had a hard time. If you want to buy any individual policy in New Hampshire, including one outside of the marketplace, you have to do it today. This is something that's really new. And again, Todd talked a little bit about the reasons for it. But in the past, if you wanted to sign up for insurance, you could do it whenever you wanted to. One group in particular that should think hard about this today are what are called groups of one. Small employers in the past in New Hampshire have been able to buy small group coverage even if they don't have any employees.
And there are a lot of entrepreneurs like that in New Hampshire.
Right. Just if you're just a sole proprietorship, you don't have any employees outside of your immediate family where they would be covered by the same policy, you should go and talk to your agent or broker today about getting coverage, because unless you have one of those qualifying events that Todd talked about, you won't be able to get coverage in 2014. You'll have to wait until 2015.
Did you want to jump back in, Todd, on that? No. Okay. I've got an email here that I wanted to share with both of you. This gets to what both of you are talking about who this applies to, this big deadline today, and who doesn't. John in Shelburne wrote to us before the show. He said, when discussing the insurance exchange and its problems, please start out by telling your audience that the exchange affects only at most 17% of the population. The exchange is not Obamacare, but only one small part of a much larger program. So that's correct, Todd, isn't it? About, you know, this is only a chunk of the population that we're talking about.
Right. These are not people that get insurance through their job, through their employer, people over 65 that qualify for Medicare or current Medicaid recipients.
Okay. And we'll talk a little bit later in the show about Medicaid expansion here in New Hampshire, how that fits into this whole Affordable Care Act. We'll take your questions and comments, too. The exchange number, 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR.
This is New Hampshire Public Radio, 919. Good morning. New Hampshire resident humorist P.J. O'Rourke has published his first new book since 2007. Hear him read from his new book, The Baby Boom, and listen in as he speaks with NHPR's Virginia Prescott about what makes his generation unique. Join us at the Music Hall in Portsmouth April 18th. Visit themusichall.org for tickets. Writers on the New England Stage is a partnership between New Hampshire Public Radio and the Music Hall. New Hampshire weather, we have a flood watch in effect for most of the state until about 2 o'clock this afternoon. Support for NHPR comes from you, our listeners, and support also comes to us from the law firm of Orr and Reno, bringing sound judgment and a practical approach to New England's legal challenges for more than 65 years, online at orr-reno.com. And Greystone Farm Assisted Living and Memory Care, surrounded by natural woodlands in Salem, New Hampshire. Tours may be scheduled by visiting Greystone Farm at salem.com. 920. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today, The Exchange, it's a checkup for the Affordable Care Act here in the Granite State, especially with the so-called individual mandate kicking in today. 1-800-892-6477 is the number for you to join us. Email is exchange@nhpr.org. We're taking your questions, comments, personal experiences with the Affordable Care Act at 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange@nhpr.org. Facebook is NHPR Exchange. All one word. Post a comment there if you'd like. With me in studio, Todd Bookman, NHPR's health reporter, and Jennifer Patterson, health legal counsel at the New Hampshire Insurance Department. And Jennifer, Karen Hicks touched on this, but I'd like to ask you about it as well. Under the Affordable Care Act, plans have to provide what are called essential health benefits. This has led to some complaints from folks who say, look, I like my bare bones coverage. I don't need this, what they call Cadillac care. What are these essential benefits and how is this kind of shaking things up?
Well, thanks, Laura. Actually, this is something where in New Hampshire, it's not as big of a change as it is in many parts of the country. The biggest changes in New Hampshire in terms of how the policies will work are that individual policies now have to cover maternity, they have to cover mental health benefits. Previously, there was not a requirement that those be covered in New Hampshire. And, of course, the big one is that they can't charge a higher rate based on someone's health status. They can't deny coverage based on health status. In the past, New Hampshire had what's called the high-risk pool, where people could go if they were being denied coverage. The New Hampshire Insurance Department issued an order keeping that risk pool open temporarily because of some concerns about access to coverage through the marketplace, but has now ordered that it be closed because it's no longer necessary. Now anyone who needs to get coverage will be able to get it.
Mental health benefits was a big deal.
Right. That, again, there wasn't a previous requirement that that be covered in all individual policies, but that is one of the 10 essential health benefits that have to be in every individual and small group policy now.
And Todd, another issue that's been perhaps unique to New Hampshire is what's called a so-called narrow network on our healthcare marketplaces. Just remind us how this has affected the rollout of the Affordable Care Act here in the Granite State.
Sure. We're actually seeing a lot more narrow networks and plans across the country. I think what's unique to New Hampshire is that we're one of only two states that only has one carrier participating. So we only have Anthem. Anthem rolled out a network that reduces the number of hospitals in its plan. 10 were left out. And they did this to try to lower costs. They say they've been able to lower costs by 25%, 30%, 35% versus what they would have had to charge if they had all the hospitals. The problem is Anthem will say they didn't expect to be the only participant. And so now we've got a situation where the famous promise made that if you like your doctor, you like your hospital, you can keep it, doesn't necessarily apply to consumers here in New Hampshire. The thing is, that's going to change, and it's going to change next year because of a few reasons. One is that Minuteman Health and Harvard Pilgrim Healthcare have said that they want in. They want into this market. They see opportunities here to pick up some market share. Harvard Pilgrim is certainly a name known in New Hampshire. It's already got a presence here. Minuteman is a Massachusetts company. It's in its first year. It's what's called a co-op. It's actually backed by $67 million in federal loans through the Affordable Care Act. It's launched in Massachusetts with some success. It's not rolling out everywhere in Massachusetts, but it says it wants to offer a statewide coverage with as many hospitals as it can here in New Hampshire. So both of those companies have to get in, jump in by May 1st. They have to submit their sort of plans by May 1st. Then it'll be Jenny and her regulator's job to look through those plans, make sure they are what are needed to meet current guidelines, and then they'll roll out for next year.
So May 1st of this year, they submit what they would like to do here in New Hampshire.
They submit. They have to be approved both by the state and by the federal government because of the partnership exchange model that we've used. But again, they won't be available to consumers until January 1st of next year.
And this is a game changer, right, Jennifer, getting two more participants on the health exchanges?
Yes. Thanks, Laura. The insurance department is very excited about the prospects for 2015. And as Todd said, this is a process that rolls out way in advance. So it was a year ago that we reviewed the plans for 2014. What I think of it as the marketplace is a supermarket. The products stay the same throughout the calendar year. And then when the new calendar year rolls around, you can choose from new products. So as of January 1st, 2015, we do expect that we'll have at least three carriers. Certainly they have expressed interest in being here. And Commissioner Savini has worked very hard to bring additional carriers to the state. And we really think that competition will be the fix for whatever problems may exist. If you look at Maine, for instance, you have Anthem also with narrow networks, and they have a co-op who's their competitor who has been performing stupendously well. So really, it's about giving people the choice. Do they want to have a narrower network at a lower cost, or do they want to have a broader network at a higher cost?
But in New Hampshire, you didn't have that choice because there was only one provider.
Well, if you want to get the subsidy, that's right.
On the exchanges.
But again, it's very important to remember that this is a model that relies on markets. It relies on competition. In New Hampshire, we have a law that says we have to take all comers. Anthem was the only one who came. And so that's what we ended up with. But for 2015, Commissioner Savini, the insurance commissioner, has been working very hard to bring in more competition. We're also excited about the New Hampshire Health Protection Program, which was recently passed by the legislature and signed by the governor. And that program was designed in a way that we think will really help our insurance markets.
That's the Medicaid expansion.
Right. It gives time before that population is in the private market. They don't enter that until 2016. And so with this long rollout time, it really gives companies time to look at their prospects for joining the market. And those plans will be available to everyone in New Hampshire, not just to a particular population.
Our phone number again for you to join us on the exchange is 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange@nhpr.org. We want your experiences, questions, comments about the Affordable Care Act. Given the big deadline that is in place today, the individual mandate kicks in. We've heard about this for a long time. March 2014. Now it's here. We want to hear from you. 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange@nhpr.org. Roger's waiting in Manchester. Hi, Roger. Thanks for calling in. You're on the exchange.
Good morning. I have two questions. One is, if you don't sign up by today for that exchange, will you still be eligible to take advantage of the Medicaid expansion that's taken into effect around July? And secondly, a lesbian married couple, can they go as a married couple under this exchange?
Yeah, thank you. Thanks, Roger, for the question. Medicaid expansion, that's coming mid-year in New Hampshire.
Yes. Oh, thanks for the question, Roger. This is Jennifer. Yes, people who are eligible for the expanded coverage that will start in July under the New Hampshire Health Protection Program do not need to worry about today's deadline. There will be special enrollment periods. Basically, once they're determined to be eligible for the program, they sign up upon being determined eligible. So if you are under 138% of the federal poverty level, that program will be available for you. You don't need to worry about that.
Okay. Roger, thanks for the call. Todd, here's an email from Rebecca in Sugar Hill who says, are there incentives to stay healthy in the new coverage, e.g. not smoke, deal with obesity, et cetera, or disincentives since everyone is covered equally, as it's been explained? Rebecca, it's an interesting question, one I hadn't thought about. Todd, do you know, are there incentives in these plans for people to stay healthy? Jennifer, Todd?
One of the things, it's not new in New Hampshire, but it's gotten some more attention nationwide, is the fact that people who smoke can be charged a higher premium. One flip side of that is that if the insurance company does charge a higher premium, they have to allow an offset of that higher premium if the person participates in a tobacco cessation program. So that is, I think, one really good incentive for wellness. Insurance carriers can also have other wellness programs in their plans. So that's definitely something that's encouraged.
Yeah, nationwide, we are seeing certainly a rise in the use of wellness programs, both through individual policies and definitely in the workplace. This may not seem like a great incentive, but you also have to remember that deductibles and copays are going up. They're always sort of steadily on the rise. The thought is you get more skin in the game. People won't overutilize health services. That's certainly one fallout, and that's certainly an incentive to stay healthy and not take advantage of unnecessary care. You know, your copay to go to the emergency room is quite high these days, and that's because we want to make sure that only people that really need that emergency coverage are turning to that option.
Todd, can you help us sort something out? We keep hearing anecdotes offered by supporters of this act that this is great, my coverage went way down and I can cover my kids. And then opponents of this, this act come out and find folks who say, I'm paying, 10 times more and this is awful. How do we figure out, what the real story is? Some people get great coverage at low cost. Others find themselves paying more. We've heard both kinds of stories among our callers here in the exchange. How do you sort this out?
I think there are winners and there are losers here. And I think both sides, if you want to take a side on the Affordable Care Act, could point to very strong evidence of who's winning here and who's losing. The big issue, though, is to compare last year to this year, to compare last year's rates to this year's rates, isn't necessarily fair, because in the old marketplace, where you could deny people coverage who were sick or charge them different rates, That's a different market than what we have today. Today, everybody's in, and that, I think, makes it impossible to compare last year's to this year's. But I think, no matter which side of this you're on, you're going to see this how you want to see it in terms of winning and losing.
Well, and Andy Sanborn is with us now. He's a Republican state senator from Bedford, and he has been on the opposing side of this law and has talked a lot about that. Senator Sanborn, thank you very much for being with us.
Laura, Jennifer, Todd, thanks so much for having me this morning.
Well, we've reached a major deadline, as we've been talking about with the ACA, this individual mandate kicking in. What are your thoughts, Senator Sanborn, on where we are right now with this law as these big pieces get put into place?
Yeah, Laura, no question. Today's a real big day. It's probably going to take a month, and Jenny would probably agree with it, a month or 6 weeks, to really figure out whether or not the number of people the president suggested would sign up and did, and kind of set out to see where we are. We have to remember that when this whole program started, the common discussion was, look, there's 30 million people in America without any insurance whatsoever, and the Affordable Care Act is going to bring more accessible, lower-priced insurance. Then, obviously, we see that about 6 million people got cancellation notices, so that number brings us up to 36 million without insurance. And if the numbers are going to be accurate, we look and see that about 6 million people have now re-signed up. So my first question, Laura, always is, if we had 30 million people without it before, we lose six, we add six, have we really made that much progress for the amount of money that's been spent?
So you're not convinced that this is 6 million new folks, hooray, they've got insurance. You're saying some of them are folks who are bumped off because of the rules under the Affordable Care Act.
And I think that's one of the important things when we start looking at to start digesting the 6 million people, Laura. You're absolutely right. I think some of them were bumped off and came back on. I think some of them probably didn't have insurance and now will have insurance. But it's going to take us a little bit of time to really see if the concept was get insurance coverage for these 30 million people actually worked, because the numbers so far would indicate to me that it really hasn't worked at the level people thought that it would. And then obviously we've got this whole Affordable Care Act thing. On average, people in New Hampshire saw dramatic increases in their cost of insurance. Now, sure, there were people that saw their insurance go down. But if you go out and talk to the business community and people that were paying for their insurance previously, not a lot of people saw real savings. Now, obviously, the federal subsidies, which, again, we have to remember, taxpayers are now paying for their own insurance as well as subsidizing other people's insurance. So for that customer, we are seeing some decreases of what their personal out-of-pocket expenses. But if you took the subsidies away, I think it would be a very interesting analysis to see if the costs have gone down or just how much they've gone up.
You run a business, Senator Sanborn, in addition to serving in the state Senate, a pretty successful sports bar here in Concord. How is this affecting you, your employees, and yourself as an employer?
Laura, it's a great question, and I don't typically talk about it a lot because as a state senator, my job is to represent other people, not myself. But, I get this. I have the exact same example that so many other people have had. I mean, look, I was one of the 24,000 people that got their insurance canceled. And it's not just frustrating. You're not just frustrated that you've lost. My wife lost the same doctor she's had for 27 years. We can no longer go to Concord Hospital. That's frustrating enough all by itself. But my last insurance was about $748 a month. I was paying a $1,200 deductible and a $15 copay. Now, under the Affordable Care Act, my insurance is about $1,270 a month. I have a $5,760 deductible, and my co-pays are $40. I mean, Laura, it's costing me $1,000 a month more for lower quality insurance than I had before this thing kicked off. And that's a pretty common thread we're hearing from people out there. And that's really frustrating because that's not what the president represented to us would happen.
Well, why do you think that's the case that you're paying so much more?
I think there's a lot of things. As you heard Jen and Todd and some others speak about it this morning, the requirements of what has to be covered under these insurance policies has ramped up pretty dramatically. You can't go from a small starter or a house to a mansion without spending more money. So you can't get more requirements of what the plans have to cover without it being charged more money. In addition to that, I heard Jen talk about the high risk pool, the people who really need help from government because their health is very poor. And that was a $30 or $40 million pool of people. That expense is now being laid into this same individual pool. So those who are paying for it have decreased. So there's you have all this kind of makeup. And in addition, you know, there's this expectation that those who are signing up for insurance that didn't previously have it are having worse health outcomes. So their utilization is going to be higher, which, again, is going to drive up the price.
And I'm guessing you probably didn't get a subsidy either, Senator Sanborn, which would have lowered your costs.
I did not get a subsidy that would have lowered my costs, absolutely. Although I probably should apply for one.
Well, Senator Sanborn, I'm going to wrap you up and let you go.
Sure.
We have lots of people who want to jump in on our conversation, but thank you very much for being with us. We appreciate it.
Laura, thanks so much for giving me the opportunity. I really appreciate it.
Andy Sanborn, Republican State Senator from Bedford. Again, the number for you to join us with your questions and comments is 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. Another caller from Manchester. This is Kate. Go ahead, Kate. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, Laura. Thanks for taking my call. I sort of have the inverse of the senator's story. My wife and I had pre-existing conditions, so we were paying more than we really could afford to for a plan with a $15,000 deductible. And this has absolutely been a blessing for us. We're paying about two-thirds of what we were for a new plan that has a $1,500 deductible and has more actual day-to-day benefits than what we had. There was no actual negotiated benefit. In our appointments, we paid the full cost.
So this is working out for you, Kate. Sounds like very well.
This is working out fantastically.
Okay.
And I just wanted to make sure that our voice got out there and people heard that there are people who are benefiting hugely from this.
Okay, Kate, thank you for calling in. We appreciate it. So she had the opposite experience from Senator Sanborn. I've got a couple emails from people here who have had their own experiences that I'll share with you both in just a minute. But Jennifer, I know you do have to leave us. Last question. What is your department's role, the New Hampshire Insurance Department? What's your role in helping Granite Staters just figure this all out and navigate their way through it?
Great. Thanks, Laura. One thing I wanted to make sure people were aware of is the insurance department regulates and always has insurance companies. So we make sure that the companies are solvent, that they can pay their claims, that all of the policies and the forms comply with all legal requirements, that the rates are not too high, not too low. So we are very, very much involved in the approval of these policies. But the other really key role that we play is that we help consumers. Once a consumer has bought a policy, if they have an issue with the carrier, if they're not getting their card, if there's a question about whether something is covered or should be covered, they should contact the insurance department. And we actually have an 800 number, 1-800-852-3416. If you have an issue, if you've purchased coverage, then please do call and we will try to help you.
Okay, and we'll put that number on our website just in case folks are out and driving in their cars and they didn't get that down. And Jennifer, thank you very much for being with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Jennifer Patterson, Health Legal Counsel at the New Hampshire Insurance Department. We'll continue to take your comments and questions in just a moment. This is The Exchange on NHPR.
This is New Hampshire Public Radio, 939. Good morning.
On the next Diane Rehm Show, debate over status of student athletes at major colleges and universities. Then an economist on why capitalism is dying and what will replace it. All coming up on the Diane Rehm Show.
The Diane Rehm Show this morning from 10 till noon on NHPR. New Hampshire weather, we have a flood watch in effect for most of New Hampshire until about 2 o'clock this afternoon. Support for NHPR comes from you, our listeners, and from Granite State Human Resource Conference, Tuesday, April 29th at the Center of New Hampshire in Manchester. Information and registration online at gshrconference.org. And from Centurion Insurance Group of Hanover, New Hampshire, offering personal, commercial, and wholesale brokerage insurance services to clients nationwide at centurionusa.com. It's 9:40. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, it's a checkup for the Affordable Care Act here in the Granite State, given that today is the last chance for uninsured Americans to choose a health plan or pay a penalty. 1-800-892-6477 is the number here on The Exchange. 1-800-892-6477. Email is exchange at nhpr.org. Facebook is NHPR Exchange. all one word. And Todd Bookman, before we go back to our listeners, I did want to ask you a little bit about Medicaid expansion. That's come up already, but I would like to talk a little bit more with you about it. This is the idea that even though today's the deadline for a certain group of folks to sign up for coverage, other folks, low-income Granite Staters, have until May for them to be worked into this system.
Right. We're still waiting to see how all this plays out. The governor just signed the Medicaid expansion bill into law last year. It was certainly a long time coming, lots of debate. It looks like we're going to have a short open enrollment period, a pre-enrollment period for Medicaid. And then we're expecting July 1st launch date with 35 to 40,000 low-income Granite Staters. So these are people who make less than roughly $16,000 a year, 138% of the poverty level, who currently couldn't qualify for Medicaid. And they're out of luck for getting subsidies too. So it's that group of people that are now going to come onto the Medicaid system starting July 1st. They then in 2016, this is what's so unique about the New Hampshire plan, the so-called New Hampshire solution, they will then transition into the private market, into the exchange starting in 2016, with the government still picking up the tab. They'll select a private health plan. Advocates would say this has two key benefits. First is that, you know, there's been some research that has shown that that health outcomes on private insurance are better than traditional Medicaid. And the second is it's going to bring more people into the pool, more people into the exchange, and that could attract more competition, more companies. We expect the private Medicaid managed care organizations, the MCOs who currently administer our Medicaid program, to jump on in 2016 to have a chance at sort of more of those heads. So we should see more competition in the years to come. This Medicaid expansion plan still needs federal approval. That is expected to arrive. If it doesn't arrive, the entire plan will go away. And then the whole thing sunsets at the end of 2016 anyways, and a future legislature will have to decide, do they like it? Do they want to renew it? Do they want to revise it? Or are we going to repeal this option?
But again, having that big group of Medicaid folks makes it more interesting for private insurers to come into New Hampshire. There's just more people for them to serve and to get paid for.
Right. More people. I mean, one of the issues with the New Hampshire market is that we're a small state. We're not going to attract a lot of competition because there's not a lot of sort of profit to be had by all these companies. The more people you get into that exchange, that private market, the more you may see more companies come on board.
Well, as we mentioned earlier, right now, Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield in New Hampshire is the only company offering products on the health insurance marketplaces. Lisa Girton is with us now. She's president of Anthem. Lisa, welcome. Thanks for your time.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Well, this is a big day for your company, as I said, as the only provider this year. What have the past couple days been like, Lisa, heading up to this deadline?
Well, you know, we did see somewhat of a surge, although I'll say overall it's been fairly steady. When we look back at enrollment each month, we've had a good enrollment for each, you know, monthly effective date. A little bit of a surge at the end, but overall it's been, I would call it steady, and we're pleased that, you know, more than 20,000 people are now enrolled, and you know, many of them we believe have coverage for the first time. So that's just a really good thing.
Well, I wanted to ask you about that. Senator Andy Sanborn and others have said that we shouldn't cheer too much for those having coverage signing up on the insurance marketplaces, because he says some of them were just bumped off their old coverage. So it's not as big a net gain as supporters would have us believe. I just wonder what you think about that, Lisa.
Well, you know, I think everyone is very anxious to get to definitive statistics on how many of these people were actually previously uninsured, and we don't know that right today. What we do know is that the majority of them, more than 80% of these exchange customers that we have, are new to us. And since we really did have a very high market share in the individual market, and they're not coming from our former groups, I think that's a really hopeful sign that these are people who are newly insured.
What are some of the common questions that your company's been getting, Lisa, or misconceptions that you're hearing from customers?
Well, I think in the beginning, very understandably, when you consider some of the challenges that at healthcare.gov had, and then even as it came over to us, just the huge influx of applications, you know, the first flurry was around, am I enrolled? Do you have my payment? You know, where's my ID card? And I think that it's it reminds me kind of, what's that expression, the python swallowing the pig. It just kind of goes through. And so, you know, again, first it was, do you have my app? Do you have my payment? Am I all set? And I think we're really seeing now that those problems are largely resolved. And you know, I won't say that there aren't any lingering problems at all, but generally speaking, I think we've gotten to a much much better place, much more stable with people being able to access services.
I got an email from Rob earlier, Lisa, that I'd love to share with you because it gets to this concern that the so-called young invincibles, young adults, aren't signing up. Rob says, our 27-year-old son is not signing up, plans to pay the penalty instead. He makes around $40,000, which is too much to get a subsidy. A silver plan on the exchange would cost $240 a month and comes out with a $3,000 deductible. So if he actually had to use the insurance in case of an unlikely injury or illness, he'd be out $6,000 before insurance started paying. He sees it as a better bet for a healthy 20-something to pay the $400 penalty, go to the ER if something really bad happens. How much do you think other young people are making that same calculations that Rob's son is?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think whether or not to have insurance has always been a personal value judgment. I mean, the reality of any kind of health insurance is that there will be some periods, some years, in fact, where you might pay something in and take very little out. It only takes one, not even so catastrophic anymore, one significant medical episode to really realize, you know, how difficult it is to go it alone. And so I think that whole value equation that the consumer has to think through has always been there, and it remains there even under the Affordable Care Act. I think that what's different, there are some options. I think the penalty will compel some people. I think others might say, well, that's not enough of a, you know, it's just not enough of a financial penalty for me to be concerned about. So I do think we are seeing some young people come in. The average age dropped somewhat by the end. So as you would expect, the people who are perhaps a bit older, perhaps have more ongoing illness, wanted to be the first in. They wanted to make sure their coverage was in place. And we did see the age dropping somewhat as the months went on. So we'll see where that all settles out. I hope we do. It's so important to a health insurance risk pool to have a balance of the healthy and those that need the care. So I hope we do see that settle out in a good place. But, you know, I understand that he and others will make that decision for themselves based on what seems right for them.
Well, Lisa Girton, thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Lisa Girton, president of Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield in New Hampshire. Again, the number for you to join us is 1-800-892-6477. Todd Bookman, a lot of people who want to jump in on our conversation. Let's go to Deb and Raymond. Hi, Deb. Thanks for waiting. You're on the air.
Hi, Laura. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm a nurse in an emergency room in a large hospital in southern New Hampshire, and so I see the consequences daily of what happens if people have no insurance, people who do have insurance. And I'm very frustrated when I hear the comments of the lady that you were just talking to about how young people are calculating how much money they're going to spend on, you know, for their catastrophic insurance. You know, if everyone thought like that, there wouldn't be any hospitals ready to take care of them when they do have some catastrophic thing, because they're not paying their portion to enable these facilities to stand. And those exact people who are calculating and not paying up now are, if something bad happens to them, they're in an accident and they can't afford to pay for it, they're going to be the exact ones applying for charitable care from the hospital.
So frustrating for you, Deb, as a nurse, to hear about so-called young invincibles not signing up.
It is, and I do feel also that we should not be judging the Affordable Care Act at this point. Many people, I find, are still absolutely clueless about signing up for it. They're not going to do anything until someone makes them. They're going to think twice about it when they are penalized with their taxes. And maybe we'll just have to have a bigger penalty.
Well, Deb, thanks for calling in. Todd, you know, lots of points that she raises. One that I want to pick up on with you, she said, look, it's too early to judge this thing. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's certainly the case. We're going to get enrollment numbers out for March, and I think across the country we're probably going to see a slight surge. It's going to take some time to sift through the data and figure out how many of these people were uninsured. You know, in New Hampshire, as we've heard, 155,000 people were uninsured going into this year. We're going to see a big jump, pick up coverage through the Medicaid expansion plan. We're going to see maybe, you know, some fair number get through private coverage. So I think it is certainly too early to judge. Massachusetts, you know, it took a few years before they really ramped up and saw their high enrollment numbers. You know, Deb brought up another point about financial protection, and that's one thing advocates of this law on health insurance will continually bring up, is that whether or not you need it, health insurance will protect you financially. It's good, you know, it's sort of risk aversion. And though the tax penalty is fairly low this year, $95 or 1%, it does ramp up. It goes up to 2% and then 2.5% of income. And I think what we'll see is a lot of people who realize, why am I paying all this money and getting nothing when I may have to pay more to get insurance, but at least I'll get that financial protection. So, you know, in 2 years, 3 years, we may see young invincibles come around more than they're certainly coming around now. I mean, right now, only about 25% of the total signups in New Hampshire are between the ages of 18 and 34.
That's interesting. I was going to ask you that,
and the federal government had targeted closer to 40% nationwide for that cohort. So we may see that number go up because of this March surge, but it may take time. It may take a you know, as Deb said, you know, it may be just too soon to really judge the success or failure of this law.
Deb, thanks a lot for calling in. Good to hear from you since you work in the healthcare field. And Jason is calling in from Hampton. Jason, go ahead. You're on the air. Welcome.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
One quick comment and then a question. And I have my wife works in the Boston medical market, so I was glad to hear from the nurse who called previously. I guess my comment is I'm baffled by the fact that the senator came on and said, you know, people who are used to buying a policy for their own coverage are now finding that their costs are going to go up because now they're paying for their coverage and they're paying for other people. And it's like, isn't that a fundamental understanding of what insurance is? You're not just paying for your own coverage. I mean, that's car insurance. That's any kind of insurance.
So it's kind of a shared experience, a shared cost, and a shared benefit.
That's the whole idea of what insurance is. The fact that the Affordable Care Act is somehow causing people to now have to take on responsibility for other people, that's not the Affordable Care Act. That's insurance. And my question is, I almost think that this discussion now has become so contaminated structurally that the only discussion worth having is whether you're for the ACA or you're against it. You cannot complain one way or the other unless you have a thought going forward about how do we get more people insured, how do we require insurance companies to deliver services for, you know, and coverages for the premiums that they charge. And how do we keep those costs under control?
And Jason, this gets into something I wanted to ask you about, Todd Bookman. Thank you, Jason, for the call. This is going to become a political issue in 2014, and people are going to be saying, I'm for the ACA or I'm not. And it seems like those who are not in favor of the ACA are starting to say, here's what I would offer instead. Just give us your broad thoughts, Todd, on how the Affordable Care Act is going to become political fodder this year.
Well, I think it's already become political fodder in past elections, too. But I think Republicans, you know, certainly want to make the ACA really the defining issue in November's election. And one example jumps to mind. You know, we've seen Scott Brown beginning his likely campaign against Jeanne Shaheen for New Hampshire's Senate seat. And, you know, he's repeatedly calling Shaheen an Obamacare Democrat, that term Obamacare Democrat, linking those two, trying to cast her somehow as the deciding vote on this law. You know, Republicans are going to wield this like a club. And Democrats, some would say, are trying to take some cover. A few have taken votes to try to show that they're trying to fix this law. They also are quick to point out its consumer protections and its benefits. I mean, I think that this will be the divisive issue. It has been the divisive issue. I think just because today is March 31st and the end of you know, this enrollment
it's
period,
not over.
It's far from over, far from over. So I think we'll see this, you know, as a topic in the months and potentially years to come.
Okay. Thanks a lot for the call, Jason. And let's take one more. This is Corey waiting in Milford. Hi, Corey. Thanks for hanging on. You're on the air.
Yeah, hello. I just wanted to respond to the woman who was on just a few minutes ago talking about how young people have to pay their way in the program and how the facilities wouldn't be available if they didn't pay their dues.
Deb, our nurse who called in. Yeah, sure. Go ahead,
yeah.
Corey.
So my point is, I know a lot of young people who are praising the Affordable Care Act, and then there are those that really aren't appreciative of it. I have friends with horrible medical conditions that would be probably dead without it. But then others who just would never be able to afford the cost and would much rather pay the $400 a year in fines. I mean, to attack these people because they can't afford, well, not necessarily attack, but to say bad things about these people because they can't afford to pay their way, it's not really right.
People are making their own calculations based on what they feel, you know, work for them. And, you know, Todd, that's sort of what Lisa Girton was saying, that the decision to be insured or not be insured has always been kind of a personal decision here in the United States.
Yeah, absolutely. The mandate is not necessarily popular. You know, the individual mandate and the employer mandate, people don't like being told what to do, certainly. And certainly that's true here in New Hampshire. You know, to have young people divided on this issue, I don't think is, you know, out of contact with the rest of the population. You know, this is a divisive issue. People don't like being told that they have to pay for something, even though some of them may obviously benefit, and the subsidies can make the rates, you know, quite affordable for some people.
Well, and Todd, again, looking ahead. So today is the deadline for the individual mandate. We've talked a lot about that. Mid-year, it's Medicaid expansion, and next year, it's an expansion of providers on our marketplaces here in New Hampshire. Is that right?
Certainly. There's a lot to watch. Certainly, this summer, we'll watch the politicking. We'll watch Medicaid expansion. Next year is the employer mandate. We've got the November elections and the enrollment period kicking off November 15th. So certainly a lot more to go on the Affordable Care Act.
Well, Todd Buchman, thank you, as always, for helping us wade through this. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Laura.
NHPR's Todd Buchman. He's our health reporter at New Hampshire Public Radio. The Exchange is a production of NHPR. The engineer is Dan Colgan. Our producers are Ellen Grimm and Faith Meixel. Our volunteer is Priscilla Malcolm. Our intern is James Pouliot. Our theme music was composed by Bob Lord. The Exchange's executive producer is Keith Shields. And I'm Laura Kanoy.
The views expressed in this program are those of the individuals and not those of NHPR, its Board of Trustees, or its underwriters. If you missed any part of today's program, listen to The Exchange anytime at nhpr.org.
I'm Laura Kanoy, and tomorrow on The Exchange, it's halftime at the New Hampshire State House with last week's so-called crossover day, where those bills that have passed the House go to the Senate for a vote and vice versa. Major issues that remain in play include a gas tax increase, a death penalty repeal, and once again, expanded gambling. We'll check the score thus far and see where these bills go from here. Send us your thoughts by email or Facebook and join us for The Exchange tomorrow morning live at 9 and again at 8 p.m. on NHPR.
Diane Rehm Show next at 10 o'clock on New Hampshire Public Radio, where we get support from you, our listeners. Support also comes to us from Currier Museum of Art in Manchester, presenting Romare Bearden, A Black Odyssey, an alternative take on Homer from this talented African-American artist. Details at Currier.org. And from R.M. Davis Incorporated, celebrating 35 years of providing investment counsel, wealth management, and trust services with offices in Portland and Portsmouth. Online at rmdavis.com.
These are the stations of New Hampshire Public Radio.
WEVO Concord 89.1.
WEVS Nashua 88.3.
WEVH Hanover 91.3.
WEVN Keene 90.7.
WEVC Gorham 107.1.
WEVJ Jackson 99.5.
WEVF Colebrook 90.3.
And WEVQ Littleton 91.9.
And online at nhpr.org.
From WAMU and NPR in Washington, I'm Diane Rehm. For years, the NCAA has set the rules and exerted total control over college athletes. But last week, a regional director of the National Labor Relations Board ruled that Northwestern University football players are employees and conform.